Bechira Chavshus, the concept of free choice, is one of the Yesod HaYesodos of Yahadus, one of the cornerstones of Judaism. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hey, Rishus Kol Adam Nisuna Lo. A person has complete and objective permission. Imrotze Lahatos Atzmo L'derech Tova V'yos Tzadik HaRishus Biyado. If he wants to take the path of righteousness and goodness, he has complete opportunity to do so. V'imrotze Lahatos Atzmo L'derech Ra V'yos Rasha HaRishus Biyado. And Chas V'Shalom, if he wants to make the negative choice, that likewise is a fully granted opportunity. And the Rambam continues, only man has this ability, like the Torah says in Bereishis, Hein ha'adam hayaka echad mimenu, ladas tov v'ra. Only man has the opportunity to have complete free choice. The Rambam continues in Perikei, later on in Halacha Hey, v'iter zeh iter gadol hu. This is a super important foundation for Amud HaTorah VeHaMitzvah. It is one of the pillars of Yahadus. Shinemar, because it says, Re'ei Nasati Lefanecha Hayom Esachayim Ve'esatov Ve'esamaves Ve'eshara. You have free choice of picking the proper path or the improper path. And likewise, the Torah says, beginning of Parshas Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefanechem Hayom Bracha Utwala. Tolomar, Sharishus Biadchem. I'm giving you a choice, says the Torah in Parshas Re'ei, as the Rambam explains, to choose between Bracha and Chola. But the choice is yours. Not only is this concept one of the fulcrums of Yahadus, it's likewise a fundamentally powerful concept in the world of human functioning. In fact, choice is so important and so necessary that in situations where we're used to having choice and choice is removed, often it's severely impairs people's functioning. For example, perhaps the most common example of that is the 18th and 21st Amendments. The 18th Amendment, prohibition, repeals alcohol. Now, yes, many individuals feel that alcohol is an important way of relaxing or enjoying time with friends, but the entire underworld, the mafia, the Al Capone, the world that was created because of the prohibition of alcohol, when choice was there and it was removed, created such problems for society that ultimately prohibition was prohibited, and of course resulted in the 21st Amendment, which again granted full permission to use alcohol. So not only is choice something which is necessary, if we're used to choice, and then we feel that our choice is cut or curtailed, it often has a tremendously negative reaction. You might think that to an extent with alcohol, that's understandable. People really enjoy alcohol. People find it speaks to them, it helps them let loose. But it's fascinating that sometimes with totally innocuous substances, you can have the exact same thing. Think about yourself. If you remember New Coke, so I happen to love Coke. They point out that, based upon research, perhaps the reason we love Coke more than Pepsi is not because of the taste, but as much as because of the advertising. But that's a subject for another discussion, as far as choice is concerned. But the concept of Coke being changed from Coke to New Coke, as Pepsi said, the giant blinked, people were stockpiling old Coke until eventually Coke Classic came out and saved the day. Now, it's possible that there was a tremendous difference in taste. I remember myself being so disappointed in New Coke replacing the Coke that we grew up on. At the same time, the concept of being almost obsessively involved in needing to have old Coke, the last remnants of old Coke, stockpiled in basements, perhaps speaks to the concept that when we have choice and it's taken away, it's something that we feel so repressed, it's necessary for us to exert our choice once again. Not only with Coke, in a book called The Art of Choosing by a fascinating person, professor in Columbia, both in the business school as well as a joint appointment in the School of Psychology, a person named Sheena Iyengar. Her last name is Iyengar. She lives in New York City. What's most fascinating about her, aside from the fact that she's clearly very intelligent and has a very engaging way of writing, is that she is unfortunately not granted the gift of sight. And when you read her book or see her work, it's a testimony to the fact that people can have what we would think are impairments and go way beyond them and have tremendously productive and influential lives. It's a very powerful Musar Haskel. She points out in her book, The Art of Choosing, that in 1972 in Miami, people began to stockpile another substance. It was hoarded and they ran to stores because it was going to be prohibited soon. And there was a import that people did. People tried to import it from other counties that was still permitted. What was the substance? Laundry detergent. Laundry detergent in the 70s was still made with phosphates. And Miami was one of the first cities that was going to outlaw phosphates. Phosphates made the detergent more effective, but it was very negative on the environment, on people, animal life, flora and fauna. So it was going to be outlawed. So the people said, oh no, we need to have phosphates. Once we have bilus, once we still own it, we're allowed to use it. So they began to stockpile the phosphate, the detergent with phosphates in Miami. We now survive without phosphates. And apparently, chemistry was able to recreate laundry detergents that were just as good, even though all our detergent now says no phosphates. But since people had that choice, they want to use phosphates, and they couldn't. It was taken away from them. That had the inverse reaction of people hoarding and stockpiling precious laundry detergents. In her book, The Art of Choosing, she points out that in the 1960s, a psychologist by the name of Jack Brehm, B-R-E-H-M, called this concept reactance. Reactance means that if we're used to a choice, and then the choice is threatened or eliminated, it manifests itself in increased desire to engage in the relevant behavior. This is a very powerful idea, not just for understanding the idea of Bechira Chavshis and how, to an extent, the very fact that we're allowed to choose Tov and Ra, ironically, makes it easier to choose Tov. If we view it more as a choice, then it's easier to opt to do it. If we would see our choices being curtailed, often it makes it harder. It's a powerful idea to an extent in the world of addictions. Addictions to things that are prohibited in halacha, things that are prohibited socially, things that are prohibited legally. Almost all of us, it might be said, have addictions. We don't like using that word. Sometimes addictions are to substances or to behaviors, and sometimes there, as a person tries to think of their elul before Rosh Hashanah comes, or a person that does introspection thinks about certain habits that one might say one's addicted to. There's a difference between addiction and habits, but the concept of having things that we're almost used to, that we want to eliminate, is something we can all relate to. Yet, it's interesting that if we try to eliminate it completely and view it as something which is totally off limits, often we're going to experience reactance. That means that if you're dealing with a person that has an addiction to anything, a substance or a behavior, that unfortunately can be life-changing and mar one's own life and one's relationships with others. Still, if the person is told, you better stop, that means whether the law tells them they better stop, whether a spouse tells that person that he or she must stop, whether it's family, the more strict they are at completely curtailing the choice can often backfire with reactance. In fact, there was an experiment done, this also was quoted by Dr. Iyengar, by one of her supervisors in the 1970s at Stanford. He wanted to figure out what's one of the ways to overcome reactance. So Dr. Mark Lepper, L-E-P-P-E-R, published an experiment he did in the 1970s with kids. Kindergarten kids in California were taken out one at a time from kindergarten to get a special treat. They were brought to a classroom, and they were shown a line of six toys. They had a train, a slinky, remember the slinkies, they always get tangled, a bulldozer, a wind-up donkey, an Etch-a-Sketch, and a battery-powered robot named Robbie. That was a very popular toy in those days. And he asked the children to rate the toys, which is the most favorite to least favorite. In general, Robbie won. He was the hot toy at the time. The kids were told that the experiment was going to leave the room, and they could play with any toy except for Robbie. Sometimes the professor, the person who was in charge, told the kids, if you play with Robbie, I'm going to be very, very upset with you. I'll be furious and very angry. And to other kids, he said, if you play with Robbie, I'll be a bit annoyed with you. So none of the kids, they were all obedient. None of them played with Robbie. Some of them got a little closer to almost touching. Some stayed far away. But what was fascinating is what happened a week later. Next week, the kids were taken out of the classroom again and told they can play with the toys, but first rate the toys. Which ones they want to play with most, which they want to play with less. Those that were threatened with severe language, he's going to be very angry, rated Robbie as number one. But those that were told that they really shouldn't be playing with Robbie, next week, rated Robbie lower. They didn't have the same desire that they themselves had to play with Robbie the previous week. It's hard to know why. More than one theory has been expressed, but what it shows us is to an extent when a person sees their choice as severely curtailed and seriously removed from them, that they're told there's going to be very adverse reactions on behalf of supervisors or parents or friends or society, often it has the exact reaction that those people don't want. It's going to make a person more involved. As we know, mayim genuvim yimtaku. On the other hand, if a person's told, you know, that's not appropriate, that's not what you should be doing, then the person says, oh, okay, I mean, I really could, but that's not the way things should be. Ironically, that helps the person make a better decision. So it's a lot of food for thought in terms of dealing with addictions. And again, addictions can be the global things that we call addictions, or even behaviors that a person wants to eliminate. The more a person views it as something which is completely negative, ironically, can have the inverse reaction. The more a person sees it as, okay, I have bechira chavshus, but I'm opting because this is the right and true path for the better choice, then the better and more powerful decision a person can make. And really, it's a very important idea in general. Whenever a person wants to improve even small behaviors, to an extent, we talk about in Yiddishkeit, ideas that we'll elaborate by Esther Shimon in the future, the concept of Ava and Yira. And really, there's a symbiotic relationship. Both Ava and Yira are an important part of anyone's Avodas Hashem. But sometimes, the more a person focuses on, Yira is a check. Yira means that a person can pass a certain line. On the other hand, the person focuses more on Ava. The reason I'm doing this is because I believe this is right. As the Rambam says, MS, MS. I'm doing what's true because it's true. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. This is what He wants me to be doing. The more powerful a person says, this is what I want because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that's what I know is MS. The more one's going to experience a powerful ability to choose rather than the reactants. The more a person seriously puts it off limits and says, this is just totally out of my league, ironically, it's easier to have the first approach with the Ava, with the more benachas way of deciding, than eliminating it entirely. We should be zochet to always make the right choices and serve Hashem to the best of our abilities every day.